Reading a short poem on the importance of missions. Lord, thou hast given me a trust, a high and holy obligation to tell the world and tell I must the story of thy great salvation. Thou mightest have sent from heaven above angelic host to tell the story, but in thy all-embracing love on men thou hast conferred the glory. Let me be faithful to my trust, telling the world the story. Press on my heart the woe, put on my feet the go. Let me be faithful to my trust and use me for thy glory. That poem reminds us of a very important truth in Scripture. And that truth is that God indeed has given to us a trust. He's given to us a great responsibility to take the gospel around the world. When I think about this trust and I think about this responsibility, one of the things that comes to my mind is the creation story. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, we have a description of what God meant for man to do and what God's intention was for man. If you remember that creation account in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, it says that God created us in His image. He made us different than all the other creatures. And in the verses there in Genesis, it describes what that means. What does it mean to have the image of God? And one of the important elements, not the only important element, but one of the most important elements is that we were given dominion over all of creation. We were given a responsibility to rule over creation, to be good stewards of creation. And if you think about that, it points to the importance of who we are as God's image bearers. This whole created order, all the different creatures that He created, all the animals, even the heavenly beings, the angels, of all the things that God created, He looked at man and says, man is to bear my image, and I'm going to give to man a special role. He is to rule over. He is to have dominion over this created order. Think about that. He could have given that job to the angels. He didn't. He gave it to us. So from the moment of creation, and as image bearers of God, we have a responsibility. We have a trust. We have an obligation over all that God had made. Fast forward now to the coming of the gospel, the coming of Jesus, and the coming of the message of salvation. We see a similar pattern playing out again. God says to us, those who bear His image, you have a special job to do. Just like back at creation, I told you I wanted you to have dominion and to rule over all the created things. Now, I've got a message of salvation that I want to entrust you to share with the world. Again, He could have enlisted the angels to do that. The angels could have been given that task of announcing all over the world. He could have done it Himself in some one way or another. But God chose to entrust us with this responsibility. And when we are given a responsibility like this, it kind of shows a privilege that we have. We are unique. We're set apart from all other things in creation. He gives us the task of ruling over, and in the New Testament, He gives us the task of proclaiming the good news to the whole world. He's not going to do it Himself. He's not going to enlist angels to do this. He says, man, you bear my image. I trust you. And I know that you can do this because you were created to reflect me. You bear my image. And therefore, I can trust you with this responsibility. Are we trustworthy people? Are we people who can take on responsibility when it is placed upon our shoulders? In this reading, we saw that the phrase is, press on my heart the woe. What does that mean, to press on my heart the woe? Well, I think what it means is this sense of urgency. The Apostle Paul understood that woe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul is sharing his own heart about the trust that he had been given, the responsibility that was on his shoulders. And Paul says in that passage, again, 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach." Paul was indeed given special trust. But we as believers need to remember that each one of us has been given that same trust. Jesus spoke to his disciples. And that includes each one of us. In his last great commission, we've read this passage numerous times. We're familiar with this passage from Matthew chapter 8, or 28, excuse me. "Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations." The Great Commission. Again, God could have done this through angelic hosts. God could have done this himself. God's a creative God. He could have done it himself. But instead, he calls upon us to do it. Why? Because we bear his image. Because we can handle this responsibility. He trusted us from the very beginning, giving us dominion over all that he created, and he trusts us with the message of salvation, trusting us to take that message to all the world. We've been looking through the book of Acts in the last several months. We're taking a break from our book of Acts. We'll pick it up after the first of the year. But as we've been working through Acts, the book of Acts is a taking the gospel to all the world. One of the passages we looked at in the first chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, again, a very familiar passage to us. Jesus says to his collected disciples, which means Jesus says to us, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When we looked at that passage a few months ago, we noted that this was a charge to take the gospel everywhere. We begin in Jerusalem. We begin right in our own neighborhoods, our own communities in a local sense, sharing the gospel with those that are around us. But we don't stop there. We take the gospel around the world. Judea and Samaria represent a broader net, if you will. I think that's very similar to our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, taking the gospel around this continent. And as we turn to the last part, and to the ends of the earth, I think we're now touching upon the goal and the purposes of the International Mission Board, as we are bringing the gospel through our giving, through our prayers, through our support, to places around the world. We saw Nepal, we saw Russia, we saw Japan in our focus this morning as we were praying for missionaries in each of those countries. We want to continue to pray and to give and to support the bringing of the gospel all around, so that we're fulfilling the commission that God gave to us. We are to be his witnesses. In our own power? No, in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking the gospel all around the world. This morning, I want to look at one of the stories of the New Testament, one of the miracles of Jesus. We looked at this last year, and we were looking through the miracles of Jesus. We're going to come back to this now and look at it with a mission mindset. It's the feeding of the 5,000. And hopefully this story, the feeding of the 5,000, a familiar story to many of us, will help and guide us as we have a good perspective on what it is to be a missionary, what it is to be a great commission believer, what it means to be someone who is a witness for Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking the gospel to all parts of the world. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a story that is seen in all four of the Gospels. We're going to look at just the first Gospel today, Matthew chapter 24. We're not going to finish the whole parable today, or the story today. We're going to just begin this today, and we'll finish it up next time. But turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 14. We'll start by looking at verses 13 and 14. 13 and 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In this story, in the opening of this story, we see some of the key elements of what it means to be missions-minded. We see in the story where Jesus begins by looking and seeing. In John's account of the same miracle, John chapter 6, verse 5, it says, when he looked up, he saw a great crowd. I think one of our problems sometimes is we don't look up. We keep our eyes down. We keep focused. And we're not looking up and looking around us and seeing. Jesus looked up and he saw. If we want to indeed fulfill the obligation, the responsibility that God has placed upon it, we need to begin by lifting up our eyes and seeing the world around us. It's the vision that Jesus had. In fact, there's another story talking about Jesus looking up and seeing, which is the first step, looking up and seeing. And this is the story from John's Gospel, chapter 4, where Jesus was with a Samaritan woman. And with this woman, he sat at the Jacob's well, and they began to talk about many things. They talked about living water. They talked about the true spirit in which we are to worship God. And in chapter, or verse 28, it says that she left, and she went back into town, and she found her people, and she said to the people in her little village there in Samaria, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out from the town, and they made their way toward him. In this particular parable, or story, miracle, Jesus and his disciples had been passing through Samaria. The disciples had gone off to a local town in order to get some supplies and some food they needed. So they weren't with Jesus when he was having this conversation with this Samaritan woman. So in time, they returned. And they joined Jesus. They offered him food, and he actually turned his food down. He seemed to have other things on his mind. He had another vision that he was contemplating, another thing that was pressing in upon him. And then we read that a crowd of people began to come back toward Jesus. Let me now read verse 35. Jesus said to his disciples gathered around him, "Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, in the original language, the word ripe here actually is a word that means white. White with harvest. It's commonly believed that a distinctive dress of the Samaritan people was white. And so many Bible scholars, they look at that little comment of Jesus and they consider the scene going on here. What may have happened is this woman had had a conversation with Jesus. She got excited about who Jesus was and what he could give to all people. She ran home and she brought people back. And as they were coming back, wearing the distinctive white that was common amongst the Samaritan people, Jesus saw the crowd approaching. And he says to his disciples, "The harvest is still 4 months away, but behold, the fields are white or ripe for harvest." He wasn't talking about produce on the plants. He was talking about people. I love the image here of the harvest in the fields. The harvest in the fields. There is a harvest there. And Jesus wants us to be the workers to go out into the field. You know, if you think about the whole world, we know that there are over 11,000 different people groups represented globally. And most of them are classified as unreached people groups by the International Mission Board. In other words, over half the population on this globe needs to hear about Jesus, needs to hear the gospel. Let's take this back to the story of creation. God placed upon man the responsibility for all of creation, all that I have created, you would have dominion over and to rule over. It's a big globe, a big place. A big responsibility. Same thing is true when it comes to the peoples all around the world. Thousands upon thousands of people groups waiting to hear the gospel. And God says, we, the workers he's called, have a responsibility to make sure that the gospel message goes to all. Millions of people being born, millions of people dying each day, many of them without Jesus. Do we see them? Have we looked up and seen them? That's what Jesus did. He didn't keep his head down. He didn't keep his vision limited. He looked up and he saw the people. The disciples were worried about food and whether or not they'd eaten enough and whether or not Jesus had eaten enough. They offered him food and he turned it down. Their focus was more immediate. Their focus was much more narrow. Jesus looked up and in a distance saw the people and saw the harvest. I think we need to have this vision, to look up and to see the many people around the globe that do not know Jesus, have not heard that message of salvation. We're not going to finish our parable or our miracle today. We'll stop right here. But as we bring our focus this morning to a close, let us keep in mind that we have been given a task, an obligation, a trust. At the creation, it was to have dominion over all of creation. In the Great Commission, it was to take the gospel message to all the peoples of the world. As Jesus began to feed the 5,000, it says in John's gospel, he looked up and he saw the need. In the story of the Samaritan woman, he looked up and he saw coming from a distance people. And he told his disciples, "Open your eyes and see the fields. They are ripe for harvest." He wasn't talking about the crops, because that was really 4 months away. He was talking about the people. Throughout this week, I would encourage you to pray for each of the missionaries on our prayer guide. Throughout this week, I want you to think about people groups around the world, people groups in our own neighborhood who need to hear the gospel. Look up and see them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. We thank you for the trust that you have placed upon us. Father, help us to open our eyes. Help us to look out and to see as you lifted your eyes and saw. There are millions of people who need to hear the gospel. Father, help us to be those who would pray for the missionaries as they serve. Help us to be those who generously give in support of the missions work going on around the globe. But Father, help us to lift up our eyes and see those in our own communities, our neighbors, our co-workers, others that we see each day. Help us to see them with a different set of eyes. Help us to see them as white for harvest, as ready to receive the message of salvation. Father, we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.